Would you pray with me? Yes, Lord. Would you mold me? Would you make me more like yourself, Jesus? Would you make us into your image? I thank you that you have set us apart, Father, with a purpose. I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to live out this truth, Lord. This awesome truth, Lord, that you are enough. Your death is enough. Lord, that I don't have to strive. I don't have to be perfect. Lord, I'm so grateful that we can know this truth, Lord. Jesus, I pray that you'd be with us this morning, Lord. Would you teach us, mold us, Lord, that we would see the opportunities that you've laid before us to share your truth. Lord God, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you. And so, yesterday I went with a few people from this church. We got to go to a seminar talking about missions, talking about both global missions and also gave us some picture on local missions as well. So I was grateful for the couple brothers and the sister that went along with me to hear this truth and for us to be able to process that together. It's wonderful that we can know that we're part of something greater than just Grace Church. God has a global church that we get to be a part of and an ongoing mission that he has allowed us to be a part of. So it was great for us to be there yesterday. And so, and as I said earlier, while I was on my way there, I got a text message from Wes, my brother, who is just struggling with his back. So again, if you could be praying for him. But as I was going there, I thought to myself, okay, Lord, this is exciting. I don't have any time to prepare, but you have a message that you want to bring Grace Church. So if we go with expectation that he's going to show up, we can't, you know, we can't be surprised when things don't go the way we want them to go. So here I am. And so as we were there and listening to the gentleman's story, his own testimony, he was talking about how God showed up in his life in a certain way and that he was able to be a part of something he didn't even know he was going to be a part of in his life. So he went one way, God sent him another direction. So as I went to the seminar, God said, I'm going to send you somewhere else tomorrow. So here I am. And he brought to mind Acts 16, one of my favorite stories in Acts. If you want to turn there, it's in Acts 16. We're going to start in verse 16, read through verse 34. But I want us to talk this morning. The title of the message is Freedom from Circumstances. We have a freedom from circumstances. If you feel like you're stuck this morning or you feel like you're in a place of inadequacy, God has placed you where you are for a purpose. And that purpose isn't just to wait, just to watch life pass by. God wants you to be active in his story today. He wants you to be active in his ongoing mission today. So I want to read this to you. This is so Acts is right after the Gospels, and so we hear in the Gospels the message of Jesus and his life, his death on the cross, culminates with that, and then his resurrection. After that, after he came to life, came back, showed himself to the apostles, then he went to heaven, and then we hear Acts, the story of the apostles and how God's truth began to spread throughout the world, which now we are a part of that story. So if you want to read with me, we're going to start in verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she could predict the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged him into the marketplace
to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to strip and beat them with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Awesome story. Awesome story. A story that starts out with Paul and Silas and a few others that were with them. And they're on their missionary journey. Kind of like their own mission trip, if you want to think of it that way. They're on a mission. So they're going from place to place. And as they're doing this in this town, we know that they're roughly somewhere around Philippi. They're in that area. So they're going around from place to place, and this demon-possessed person, this person that can tell the future, is following Paul and Silas around and keeps saying, "These people are servants of the Most High God, and that they know the way to be saved." Doesn't sound bad in and of itself, but we know that it must have been so intense and so annoying to an extent that it drove Paul to the point where he turns around and says, "Demon, be gone." And we know that the demon left, that the person was restored. We also know that after that, there was a riot that took place because the people that owned the female servant were no longer going to be able to make money. How selfish were they? You know, this girl has being demon-possessed is now free, and these people are upset. So they start this riot up. They get the people all fired up. And then they drag Paul and Silas, literally they're dragging them along, to the magistrates, and they bring them before the rulers of that town. And they start saying that these people are telling us that we're supposed to follow these other commands that are going to mess up what we believe to be Roman citizens. They're throwing our beliefs off. So they're just stirring these people up. So the magistrates are listening to these people. They have Paul and Silas severely flogged. Like, their backs are bloody, they're beaten, they're taken to a jail. The jailer's told, "Don't let these people go," so he locks them in the inner cell, shackles their feet. So again, they're bloody, they're beaten, the immense pain they must be feeling. And so they're locked up in this inner cell. And I love their response, because you can't just make this response up. You know, you can't just be like, "Well, my life is really hard, but you know, now all of a sudden this light bulb is going to come on. Now I'm going to start praising God." No, their response is an out of the overflow of the heart. That they're singing hymns, they're singing songs, and they're praying together. They're encouraging one another. And I got to think that when they were singing, it couldn't have sounded very good. I don't think that Paul and Silas probably sounded like Chris Tomlin, you know, the Gaither Choir. I don't think it sounded very good because they, again, you got to picture them. They're probably on their knees. Their backs are bloody. They're in a lot of pain. Yet they're just giving what they have to the Lord. They're just praising Him. They're just worshiping Jesus. They're praying together. And the cool part is, the other people in the jail, they're listening. They're listening to what's going on. So Paul and Silas didn't see their circumstances something that brought them to a place where they had to stay, they had to wait. They didn't feel confined in the jail. In fact, even though they were in the jail, you get a sense that they were free. They were free. But I want to encourage you this morning. If you're in a place of hardship, number one, we can celebrate. No matter what circumstance, we can praise the Lord. I'm not speaking that on my own account. I'm speaking that on Paul and Silas' account. These people were unjustly persecuted over and over again. This wasn't just a one-time thing. They had been persecuted over and over again. But we get a picture that they were constantly abiding in Christ. And that when they were in the jail, they weren't surprised. They weren't surprised by their circumstance, where they found themselves. They were excited. They had joy. I know that when I get into unjust circumstances, I'm so quick to turn my hand. I'm so quick to point out and blame others. I like to play the victim card very quickly. But Paul and Silas didn't do that. They didn't play the victim card. I mean, they're unjustly persecuted because we find out later after this story that Paul actually tells them, you know, you just beat a Roman citizen, meaning that these people were in a lot of trouble. The authority was in a lot of trouble. You can't just unjustly beat a Roman citizen. But Paul didn't just play that card. He went into the jail praising God with Silas. I mean, they're encouraging one another. And they're just worshiping the Lord. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. But I want to ask you this morning, whether you're in a place of hardship, whether you're in a place of joy, when life gets a little messy, what is your response? When life gets messy, when things don't go your way, what is your response? I think to myself, and I have to preach this message to myself, that when life is hard, am I going to want to just play that victim card? Woe is me, Lord. Woe is me. Or am I going to be confident in Christ that He has a plan, a purpose in all circumstances? So in one sense, we almost get this picture that Paul and Silas, they're probably on their knees, they're bleeding, they're in pain, but they're singing, basically they're singing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all seasons, Lord, blessed be your name. And they're praising God, and these people are listening. We know that not only are the people listening, but most likely the jailer had to be hearing what's going on. Because, again, I'm just fascinated by so many things in the story, including the jailer's response. Because the jailer comes out. I mean, there's an earthquake. Earthquake happens. Doors fly open. The jailer comes out. He thinks, My life's over. These people are out. I'm going to be killed. So he goes to draw a sword. He's going to kill himself. But his response is awesome because after Paul and Silas say, we're all here, which points out two things. One of which is the people were so influenced by Paul and Silas that they don't move. But the jailers also just move. He comes in. He brings out Paul and Silas. And his response just fascinates me. He wants to know, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? Which indicates something. If he needs to be saved, it means he realizes that he's lost. I don't know if that jailer knew that night before he met Paul and Silas that he was lost, but in that moment, he knew that he was lost. See, our lives reflect out the gospel. That message, and that message begins with the truth that we are all sinners, that we're lost, that we are hopeless on our own. I mean, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and for all have fallen short of the glory of God. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that I believe I can be perfect on my own. I know that's not true. I know that's not possible. As a Christian, I believe that Christ is perfect and that he is enough. And so this jailer is listening into the story of Paul and Silas, and he's realizing, I am lost, I am hopeless. In fact, I love the ending in verse 34. It says that the jailer brought them into his household and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household. Filled with joy. I get this picture too. Like it says that he had come to believe in God. I think of someone who probably thought to himself, I could never be saved. I could never really measure up to God. So we have a hopeless individual, and he's looking at his life now this evening, and his life's been radically changed. And he's looking at his life and going, I have joy today. I didn't know this was possible. I have joy. Your life can reflect so much, even when you're in your own jail. Your life can reflect the life of Jesus Christ. We do not have to be victims of circumstance. We do not have to be hopeless when we're in the jail. Because Christ might put us in the jail so that he can reflect the truth to others. Today, maybe you're in a place where you're looking at your job and you're saying, I don't know how I could ever do anything of noble purpose in my job. Or maybe you're at school right now and you're like, well, I'm learning about algebra. What's the point of this? We don't have to be victims of those circumstances. Christ has put you in that algebra class. Christ has put you at your place of occupation for a reason. He's not surprised. For those of you that are able to minister to your neighbor, maybe you have a neighbor that's driving you insane. God is not surprised of who your neighbor is. He has put you there to shine the light of Jesus Christ. This opens up a whole new world. Opens up a whole new world for us when we realize that no matter what place we're at in life, we have a purpose. We can have beautiful feet. We can present the gospel. We can live out this faith no matter where we're at. And I love how Paul and Silas respond because I don't think they do anything special. You'll notice they, first of all, they get thrown in prison. Nothing special there. Anyone can get thrown in prison, right? Anyone can get thrown in prison. So, not only that, they're just singing songs and praying. I know I can sing. I know I can pray. Might not always sound the greatest, but I know I can do it. Nothing special here. But the special part about this is that they're responding in the midst of conflict. And people want to see who you are when your life really isn't in a place where you can manage it. People want to see who you are when you can't really manage your life. It's fascinating to me how many times someone will watch a Christian and watch their response, and either they're blown away by how they respond in Christ, or they want to yell hypocrite right away. Now, I'm not here to say that your job is truly to save a person. That's not it. We all have good days. We all have bad days. It is what it is. I know people hate that phrase, but sometimes it's just the reality. It is what it is. You know. But God is so gracious and so grateful. We're so grateful that he is working in the midst of all circumstances. But I encourage you, when your life is upside down, are you playing the victim card? Are you saying, woe is me, Lord? Are you just putting your hands in your pockets and saying, well, I'm going to wait till life changes, and then I'm going to start to share the gospel? Or are you seeing the opportunities before your very eyes? Again, Paul and Silas were in prison. They were confined. But in this story, they were the most free people there. The jailer, he was confined to his life of misery. He's ready to quit his life. The people in prison, the prisoners, they're obviously confined too and hopeless. They're listening in. They want to hear this message of hope. They're looking for any sign of hope. So when everything shakes, when everything rattles, they're so focused on Paul and Silas that they don't want to leave. Paul and Silas go from captives to leaders in a second. Everything changed. 1 second. Earthquake. All of a sudden, everybody's looking at Paul and Silas. What are they going to do next? People are looking at you. People are watching your life, believer. Follower of Jesus Christ, people are watching you. When life gets interesting, people want to see how are you going to respond. You do not need to respond on your own. We talked a couple weeks ago about what it means to abide in Christ, what it means to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about this, that Christ has set us free, that through the Holy Spirit we can connect with Christ, and He will give us His Holy Spirit. It's going to produce fruit in our lives, fruit of love and joy, peace, patience, goodness, all these great things. Sorry. He can produce these things in our lives, not on our own strength, on our own merit. He can produce good things in our life as we abide in Him. So I ask you, are you abiding in Christ? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Are you spending time in His Word? Are you spending time with Jesus? Not out of guilt. Are you spending time with Christ because you love Him, because you want to be in relationship with Him? Are you praying? Again, not out of guilt, not just to get something, but because you want to be in relationship with God, because you want to walk in step with the Spirit, both in good times and in bad times. You want to be connected with Jesus Christ. Because you can't make up your response when life gets hard. You can't make it up. I encourage you, don't wait until there's a crisis to suddenly figure out where you stand with Jesus. A lot of people do that. And it's very rare that someone's able to really stand. You know, God can use a crisis. In fact, I think He does use crises. And I know people have come to Christ, have rerouted themselves because of a crisis. But I encourage you, if you're walking with the Lord right now, get connected more and more with Him. Because when life gets messy, we don't want you running away. God doesn't want you just to run away and have to figure out where you stand. When life gets messy, God wants you to see, I'm not a victim of circumstance. God has a plan for me today. There's a friend of mine who's in the hospital. Been in the hospital, and Amanda and I got to go and visit with her. This lady has had family problems. Health problems have gone longer than she would expect. She's had times where she didn't know the answer. She's had problems with her house. She's had all these different things have gone wrong in her life. And yet, Amanda and I went and we visited with her. And I was so struck by her response. First of all, when we met her, she was the happiest person in the room. Happiest person in the room. Just laughing. So excited to see us. Just overjoyed. No pouting, no woe is me. She was just excited. And you know what she was excited about? It wasn't me. It wasn't Amanda. It was Jesus. She wanted to tell us about how joyful she was in Christ. As we're sitting there talking, she started telling us about opportunities she had to share the gospel in the hospital. This is a lady who, her health problems, family problems, I look at her and I go, if this was me, how would I be able to stand on Christ? Well, she's telling me about the opportunity she had to share the gospel. How awesome is that? And this is a lady that comes out of Grace Church. See, she's not someone who's a victim of circumstance. She's abiding in Christ. She's abiding in Christ. Not doing anything special. She's just walking through her day, and when she sees the opportunity, she's sharing truth. And that truth shines bright. Because when you're laughing in a hospital and you are the person who is being treated, that stands out in a positive way. So I think of myself, and I, where do I stand in all of this? Where do you stand in all of this? We talk about taking grace beyond the walls. And the best way we can take grace beyond the walls is if we're abiding in Christ. The best way we can shine out the love of Jesus is if we can respond in the good times and we can respond in the bad times. Taking the gospel out, explaining the gospel, this isn't something where we just go and check it off our list, like, okay, I went and I shared, I evangelized today. Taking the gospel, having beautiful feet, that's something that's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's not like we just have this mission board or we just have people that are just talking about missions and then we kind of move on and have a different category. No, we are always missionaries. We are always taking this truth. We're always reflecting Christ. In Matthew 5, Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount. I'd encourage you to go and check it out. Two things he talks about. He describes us as being salt, and he describes us as being light. Salt and light. And back then, salt even meant more than it does today. Short story, I personally am from Pennsylvania. I'm Pennsylvania Dutch. If you know anything about Pennsylvania Dutch cooking, it's that we don't really use salt. In fact, recently I got married a couple years ago, and this new understanding of salt has transformed how I eat my food. It's amazing. You get married and all of a sudden these new doors open. But suddenly my food has a different flavor to it. I can taste it better than before. But we are described as being salt. We flavor the conversations around us. In fact, we preserve the relationships around us and the conversations around us. People know when the salt's there. And in the same way, people should know when you're around. Not because you're talking necessarily, but because you're shining the light. People can't help but tell that Christ is in you because of how you're living out your life. So your salt, we're called to be light, reflecting Christ in the midst of all circumstances. How awesome is it that Christ doesn't ask us to do more than what he has given us the capability of enduring? He doesn't ask you to perform the miracle. He's not asking you to do more than what you can do. But he promises to work through you in all circumstances. Again, that doesn't mean your life's going to be easy. Your life could go the whole way to death. But if your mindset is on Jesus Christ, it changes everything. Grace Church, let's not be people that are just waiting in jail. Let's be free people. Let's be people who see the mission that God has put before us. If you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, it means you have a place where you belong. If you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a place where you belong. Your name has been changed. Your identity has been changed. You're no longer just yourself. You are a child of God. And Christ wants to work in you. Paul and Silas, they saw themselves in the greater story. They didn't just see this as one random act. When they were in jail, they were ready to see what God was going to do in their life. And in that moment, God wants to perform something in your life. I don't know what it is. He's going to reflect whether it's you in your algebra class, you at work. God wants you to reflect him in all circumstances. And as we talk about this grace beyond the walls, again, the first place we can start The first place we can start is, as we have accepted Christ as our Savior, so abide in Christ. Don't just sit there and say, well, I accepted Christ, now I'm going to wait. I encourage you, spend time in the Word. Grace, if we're people that are in the Word and people that are praying, we're going to be people that are on mission with God. So I encourage you, if you're not in the Word, there are so many places you could start. I wouldn't recommend starting in Genesis. I'd recommend starting maybe in the book of John. I've been reading in the Gospels lately. I'm in Matthew right now, hence Matthew 5. I mean, this is stuff that just overflow the heart. Like, as I was reading, I've been in Matthew 5, so I was like, oh, I see salt and light, and this makes sense. It wasn't this magical thing where I was like, oh, now let's talk about salt and light. I just read it a couple days before. As you are abiding in Christ, He is going to give you what you need. He's going to bring to mind the things that you need because you're abiding in Him. So I encourage you, be spending time in His Word. So if you want to, I think I'm in Matthew 6 right now. So if you want to read Matthew 6 tomorrow, I'll be in Matthew 6. If you're interested, I just encourage you, start reading the Word. Maybe get into Philippians. Another great place. The person who was in this story, Paul, he wrote the book of Philippians. And this place that they're at is in Philippi. So if you want to hear more about what was going on for these people, read the book of Philippians. You can find out about how Paul is encouraging these believers that he spent time with, that he's lived out the gospel in front of. You can learn more about this truth and be encouraged along the way. But I would just encourage you, please, be spending time abiding in His Word. And if you can be abiding in prayer, I think of no better place. If you could just be obviously praying that God would be illuminating this truth in your heart as you are reading. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for the person, the sphere of people that God has called you to influence today. Pray for Grace Church. Pray for Wes. Pray for me. Pray for the ministries that are taking place in this church. God is working. I mean, I told you one story of one person in this church that is reflecting Christ, and I know there are many others that are reflecting Christ, that aren't captive to a circumstance. They are free in Christ. Let's be people who are free. Let's be people who are on mission with Jesus. Can I pray for you? Lord, I thank You. I thank You so much that You have freed us in Christ. Lord, I thank You that I no longer have to be a victim of circumstance. I no longer have to just wait for the time to pass by. At every moment, Lord, You have called me to be Your child. You have called me to be salt. You've called me to be light, Lord. I pray that my life would reflect Your gospel, Your truth, and Your Son, Lord. Would we be people that are abiding in You, Lord? Would people know Grace Church to be a place where people are abiding in You? People that are in Your Word, people that are excited about what You're doing in your life. And regardless of where You have us, Father, we can have hope and we can have purpose. Lord, go with us as we take this truth beyond our community. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.